Thank you for downloading or podcasting this track. This recording has been remastered to provide the best sound possible given the audio environment of the original recording session. Mosaic Silver Spring is a faith community located just inside the Capitol Beltway in Montgomery County. For more information, please visit our website, www.mosaicsilverspring.org, and we'll see you in the neighborhood.
Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Luke 24:1-12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Dear God, on this Resurrection Sunday, we just stand in awe at how you gave yourself, Lord Jesus, so that we could be saved from all our shortcomings and all of our sins. Thank you for the hope and comfort that your word provides for us in this time. And we pray that as your word is preached, that it will do the work that it was set out to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Eileen. You know, this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter day, it may not feel much like a celebration. You can go to Google's homepage and you'll see a little Easter egg there. You may even have thrown on your pastel colored pajamas this morning or made a special breakfast recipe that is traditional for your family. And yet, in the midst of all of that, that doesn't change necessarily the realities of our circumstances. Just because we are supposed to feel happy doesn't mean we always feel happy. The truth of Christianity is that the source of our happiness, the source of our hope, the source of our peace is what we have the privilege to celebrate today, even when our circumstances don't give us much cause to, or at least we don't feel that it does. In the Gospel of Luke, which is good news for all people, there are elements of it where you find the disciples of Jesus who have been following him from the road of Galilee down to Jerusalem with all sorts of expectations and with all sorts of sense of what feelings they would have, get confronted by the authorities, both the religious and Roman authorities in the city of Jerusalem. And they put Jesus on trial for being a rebel, for announcing this news of another kingdom. It made that very first Good Friday not feel so good. And so as Jesus was crucified that Friday afternoon, just a few hours before the start of Shabbat, these women would have been working a harried effort, not only mourning the death of Jesus, but struggling with their own loss of hope and expectations, brutally being confronted with the powers and authorities in Jerusalem. And yet they make every effort to get Jesus to the tomb. They deal with those pressures, with the things that are pushing in on them, and face them as best they can. It's a morning that I'm guessing that you can relate to when they wake up, having wrestled with these pressures, having been in a spot of mourning of Jesus' death, struggling with their own loss of expectations and hope, wondering what is God doing in the world. This is the morning they wake up to when they head to the tomb to faithfully finish what they had started that Friday afternoon. Probably wrestling with the question, where do we turn for hope now? And so if you are joining us this morning through the live stream, whether you are a member of Mosaic, whether you have ever visited our church, or whether you have just found us through the internet for the first time, we welcome you. And the question is, we work through Luke's gospel this morning, particularly in chapter 24 for you, is where do you turn for hope? In the midst of some of you wrestling and mourning the reality of death and sickness around us, as we struggle with our own sense of expectations of what the school year would have looked like, or what this spring would have held, or what our plans would have been, or what our sports teams could have done, when we are brutally confronted with the reality of the coronavirus and a global pandemic, that question for us is the same. We may be in a very close position to those women visiting that tomb some 2,000 years ago, asking and wrestling through our own question of where will we turn for hope. That's what I'd like you to consider this morning as we walk through together chapter 24. When these women arrive, there is a play on words in verse 2 and verse 3. They find that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, not what you would have expected. But they don't find the body of Jesus. They find something they're not looking for, and they don't find what they expected. They go in, and it is the first subtle cues that Luke is sending to us that something has changed. And so they enter in perplexed and encounter two men. Later, we come to understand as divine messengers or angels who, with a little bit of edge, ask, why is it that you seek the living among the dead? Maybe not a full-throated rebuke, but definitely a question along the lines of, why do you look for garden shears in the utensil drawer? Or why do you look for motor oil in the pantry? Why would you look for the living among the dead? And to help out the women as they faithfully seek to continue following Jesus, these messengers from God remind them that the best way to understand what's happening, what they have found and what they have not found, is through remembering, through thinking back. What was it that Jesus told us? What did he say? And the angels help them out in verse 6. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they, the women, remembered his words. If you've ever known anyone who's wearing glasses or wears glasses now, on humid days when they are in the midst of an errand or trying to work out or do something quickly, particularly if the stress is on, then they can begin to sweat and their glasses can fog up. And it becomes much more difficult, particularly in a stressful environment, to do the work that you're supposed to do when the glasses, the very things that are supposed to help you see, get all fogged up. And so you'll see them often take them off and use a shirt or a handkerchief or whatever's near to get them cleared and put them back on. Well, in a similar way, these women are in the context. These disciples of Jesus are facing the pressure of unmet expectations. They're mourning the reality of Jesus' death. And this has fogged up their view of what God is doing in the world. And so in a sense, they are trying to go about the motions of what they thought faithfulness would look like, and yet their vision has become clouded, their glasses have become foggy, and the angels remind them that the best tool to wipe them off, the angel almost hands them Jesus' words as a handkerchief to wipe clear the fog so that they can see. God continues to work in the world. And so they find a stone rolled away from the tomb, and they don't find the living among the dead. Jesus lives. And the angels remind them of Jesus' own words. This is part of God's plan. Even the design of Luke's language is to cue us that these are divine instruments carrying out the work of God. And it meets us, I hope, in a helpful and pastoral way. It is a reminder to the women as they search for Jesus that God works through suffering. That suffering is no indication that somehow God's plan hasn't worked. But it's also a reminder that God's plan isn't finished. The resurrected Jesus wasn't in the tomb. He is now among the living. I hope that's an encouragement to you and a cue to help answer the question of where do you find hope this morning? Because in the midst of our own circumstances and the realities that we face, some of us certainly more than others, the pressures, the loss, sense of how different things are now, can press in on us and fog our own view of what God's doing in the world. And here, through God's word, Jesus' words are alive and well to you and to me to remind us that our present suffering doesn't set aside God's work in the world. It doesn't mean that God's work of redemption has somehow gotten lost track of or somehow hit pause on, but that God continues to work. And it also, in a like way, reminds us that because the king has not returned, that we are to continue to wrestle with these things because God's work of redemption is not yet finished. As Christians, where do we find our hope? It is always in good times and in bad, in the resurrected Jesus. Now, maybe you wrestle with that. Maybe you are just now hearing this news that Christians through faith find our hope in the resurrected Jesus. And so you wonder, I don't know if that's the best place that I want to find my hope. Or maybe you have in the past turned to Jesus in faith, but you wrestle with that now in light of what's going on in the world. I want you to be encouraged. Let Luke unlike those who are on Zoom in pajama pants, but a nice jacket, shirt, and tie, Luke doesn't hide the realities that the disciples struggled with this, that the people who were following Jesus in the first century, they wrestled. They didn't always know what to make of this. As the story continues, these women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, they go back and they make known in verse 11 what had happened. But those who heard them took it as an idle tale. Now, Peter, he did slightly better. He rose and ran to the tomb, stopping to look in, realizing that something had changed. But I think the point here is that even the disciples, in the midst of their own fogginess of the world, they wrestled. And that creates, I hope, a level of humility for us to see that not everyone always gets it. Not everyone lives with the same level of assuredness. Not everyone has come to the same conclusion of where they find hope. And so, friends, this Easter 2020, we are called to find our hope in the resurrected Jesus through faith. But we're also called to do that with some measure of humility, recognizing that people move that direction at varying paces. Here, the women are the exemplars. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, they get it. The other disciples, many of them don't. And Peter's somewhere in between. And so this morning, as you have joined us for this liturgy live, hear the good news of the resurrected Jesus. Be reminded that he is our source of Christian hope. For those of you who, that's where you're at, that's what you believe, be encouraged like the women in Luke's gospel. Yet carry that, walk with that with a measure of humility. For those of you who think, that's just an idle tale, Luke invites you to consider that question. Well, where then do you turn in hope? And for those of you who are wrestling somewhere in between, be encouraged in following the footsteps of Peter that Jesus is not far from any of us. This is what it looks like this Easter day to come to grips with the reality of our hope in the resurrected Jesus. And yet the unseen moments, the untold chapter of redemption of what God's doing in the world. We, like the women in the story, walk faithfully forward, not knowing exactly when Jesus will return. Not seeing exactly when redemption will be complete, but knowing that our present suffering isn't some disqualification from God's redemption, we continue to walk forward day by day in hope. Amen.